Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everybody. This is the show Self-Expressions, and I'm your host, Brother Robert Pop Hudson. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us for tonight's episode. Please join us on the phone or online. I'm simulcastingly broadcasting on Facebook Live. This is my first time on Facebook Live, and I just want to just thank you for just taking time out to just listen to this simulcast through blogtalkradio.com. And like I said, once again, this is the show Self-Expressions, and I'm your host, Brother Robert Pop Hudson. And I'd just like to thank you for just joining us and just giving us the opportunity to just listen for a while. And as I said before, the show is Self-Expressions, and my topic tonight is take another look. And when I say take another look, I mean this in many different ways. And basically, I'm coming from John chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. And, you know, if you will, you know, either just write it down or just, you know, when you get a chance, just pull it out, pull out those scriptures right there, and we'll go over in a little while. And once again, that's John chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. And I just want to go over some things. But the topic of the night, take another look. I mean, we need to step back and take another look, because it's a lot of times we rush to judgment and we judge things and we make formulations in our head that, you know, we just can't shake as far as having an open mind, an open opinion of things, you know. And the one thing I do want to talk to everybody about is that mostly in this country, have the ability to vote. They have an opportunity to vote. And one of the things that, you know, that I'm hearing is that, you know, oh, well, you know, I was going to mail in my vote, or I was going to do this, I was going to do that. You know, one of the things that I find out now is election day, you know, we're not going to have the mass of people that we need to go out and vote. You know, we need to go out and vote. And we can't forget that this opportunity that we have to vote, you know, it was once something that we didn't have. You know, this is something, you know, that we didn't have. This is something that we had to fight for, something our ancestors fought for, and a lot of people died for. You know, and for that alone, and for that fact alone, you know, we should make every effort to go out and vote. You know, so we just need to go out and vote. And we need to make sure that we show an effort. And me being on Facebook Live, you know, one of the things is I do, as far as I do have the PKN studio pulled up. So if you see me, you know, moving around or looking like, you know, Stevie Wonder or something like that, you know, don't worry about it. You'll get used to it. So as I was saying, you know, with that right to exercise and vote, we had to make sure that we remember one thing. You know, just voting for the presidency is not just the only thing that we need to worry about, or the only opportunity we need to worry about. You know, at certain times, you know, when we need to take a look at you know, some of the things that we have in place as far as our system of justice that we have right now, you know, we also have the ability to vote in, out judges, sheriffs, and many other officers, like, you know, controllers and things like that. So, you know, we need to keep in mind, because court, you know, whether it's for a minor traffic violation or, you know, or maybe, you know, one of our relatives, they may be having to face a judge, you know, a judge that we have not appointed, or a judge that we... You're asking yourself that question, but let me ask you this question. If there was a lobster sitting there at court presiding over your court case or over court procedure, do you expect justice to be served from that lobster? No. That's what's happening. You know, you might as well say a lobster's been voted in some of these offices and some of these spaces where, you know, we expect justice to be done. But a lobster cannot administer justice is one of a lot of these judges right now. And, you know, we just have to make sure that, we, you know, while we have the ability to control certain things, that we make sure that we have, you know, take the maximum effort to make sure. Because don't forget, like I said, it's not what affects you. Okay, you may not be in the court. You may not be, you know, have to face a judge. But there may be some instances where you have to face it, you know, something minor as a traffic ticket or a zoning issue or something like that. But these, all these people are listed. This is something that we had control of. You know, this is something that, you know, we could have prevented if we had the right people in mind to serve us, the people. You know, it's not that, that we had to do something for them. They had to do something for us. These people were elected, and we had the ability to elect, and elect these people out of office. So, you know, we just make sure that, you know, we exercise and we take another look at what we're actually doing and how we're doing it. You know, 2 years from now, you know, after, you know, this election is over, you know, now we're going to be worried about, you know, who's going to be, who has control of Congress, who has control of the Senate, and things of that nature, you know. And, you know, and then we have to go out and do all that again to make sure that, you know, what we need done as far as, you know, our overall, you know, our overall, you know, Senate and, you know, state representative, everything down to, you know, city control and all that. We have to make sure we put the right people in there because guess what? They're supposed to represent us. They're not supposed to tell us what they're going to do. We just need, you know, the people in office. And like, well, we have the control. You know, we just need to go ahead and make sure that we can do that, you know. And one thing about elections, you know, they have basically answered us, to us, you know. And if things are not getting done, you know, in the neighborhood, you know, and we're not getting, you know, supplemental government programs to, you know, actually help and actually, you know, actually keep it up for our neighborhoods to flourish. You know, we just need to make sure that, you know, we're going, you know, doing that. And anything more, you know, and speaking about government and elected officials and things like that, you know, we have to make sure, and this is, you know, something on my part, where I had a, you know, we have a major issue with gun control. And it's not just the gun control, but, you know, what it is that they're not coming up with a solution because, you know, the NRA is actually, they're preventing a lot of things from happening from, you know, we have gun laws. The problem is that I know everybody, you know, the Second Amendment, I have a right to bear arms and things like that. Okay, what I'm saying is, I know why they're not enacting on this because I said this 3+ years ago, tax bullets. And the reason why I say tax bullets is because you can, if you tax the bullets and you make a bullet, you know, $25 a piece or up to $30 a piece or as far that you can do, you know. And the problem is that they're not doing it because nobody benefits. Nobody makes money. The only one benefits are, you know, people that are shot, innocent bystanders that are shot, innocent kids killed, things like that. People that get shot just walking around minding their business, and they just get shot, and they can't pay their hospital bill because they were doing nothing. They were doing nothing other than going about trying to live life, and, you know, they're shot. They tax the, you know, if they tax the bullets, it pays for hospital bills. It pays for funeral expenses. It pays. It could pay a lot of things. You know, right about now, you know, you can get an armor-piercing bullet for around 13 to 11 cents. And it doesn't make sense how much damage that one bullet can do and the cost of that bullet. That one bullet can do so much damage. It's not, you know, and it doesn't make sense how a bullet of that capacity that can do massive damage cost so little and cause so much destruction. And that's something that I just need any politician to just think about taxing bullets, because I know everybody wants to hold on to their guns and they're saying, this is a collector's item. I go hunting with it. I go this. Well, if you want to do it that bad, you know, make sure that the ammunition that comes with the bullets, you know, with that firearm, that it costs enough that once whatever destruction it causes or whatever you're doing, because let's face it, it's nothing good. That gun is nothing good. It's going to either kill an animal, it's going to kill someone, or it might kill even the gun owner. You know, we don't know. You know, but what we do know is that it has a potential of a massive amount of destruction. And for something, you know, costs, you know, as far as a bullet, you know, so little, And as far as gun control, yeah, somebody can go out of state and come back and get a gun. But this is something that we can control. We can stop this, you know. We can stop this with bullets. And you know, it seems, you know, kind of sad because if this was enacted years ago, you know, it could have probably prevented, you know, the death of my nephew. You know, he was murdered, and you know, they still can't find the killer and don't know. And as many shootings and deaths are, it's even worse now than what it was a couple of years ago. And I just, I just can't stress so much how, you know, we just need to vote. We really need to vote and get out there and vote. And, you know, those that are making the effort, or those that, you know, there are some people that can't, you know, convicted felons and things like that. You know, we can't do nothing about that, but at least you can go out and you can support or encourage someone to get out and vote, because this really means, you know, a lot to a lot of people. Because, you know, can we deal with 4 more years of this? And, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are the perfect solution to what we got going on. But, you know, right now we need to go in the right direction. And, you know, that's all I have to say right there on that part. So, you know, I just want to go ahead back, and I just want to get into some Bible right now. And I want us to take another look at John chapter 8, verses 1 through 12. Now, I'm going to tell you, you know, reading this verse, it just tells me something, man. Jesus is amazing in how he does things and how he turns things around, you know. And I can't, you know, understand where as though, you know, you just or we just don't, you know, accept him as fast as we, you know, we can in our lives and incorporate him in our lives, because, you know, he did 3 things real fast, and it was crazy. So let's go ahead and, you know, if you have your Bible set to John chapter 8, we're going to start with the first verse, and we're going to end on the 12th verse. And if you give me a second, I'm just going to take a little sip. All right, so, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Now, early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had sent her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses and the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" They said this, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear them. So when they continued to ask him, he raised himself up and said to them, "Who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, you know, began convinced by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Then Jesus spoke again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." Man, now, that's amazing. There's a lot of things that happen, you know, within that verse. And, you know, I want to go into them because, you know, it is amazing how he just turned things around and how he just made things, you know, from her apparently about to get stoned to death until, you know, he just shamed the whole crowd, basically. And, you know, we're just going to, you know, and only, you know, Jesus can do something. You know, it's a stroke of genius where or how he just, you know, he turned things around. And, you know, I just want to go over and cover, you know, the context of what happened. So we're going to go into the verse when Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, you know, at dawn. You know, he appeared, you know, basically back at, you know, at the temple. And that's when here they come, the Pharisees. They always coming with something. They always got something, some kind of plan or some kind of plot. And, you know, so Jesus knew they were coming with something. And, you know, basically when he heard them, he just bent down and started writing on the ground, you know. And the thing that, you know, that amazes me is that how people, they can really just twist things up into their purpose or to their, you know, what their agenda is. And the Pharisees, what they basically did was they threw up the law of Moses. And they said, well, you know, according to the law of Moses, we should stone her to death, you know. And Jesus knew, he's like, I knew it was coming there. I knew they had something. So, you know, he's like, hey, you know what? What I'm going to do? He says, you know, he's going to sit there and he's going to continue doing what he's doing, which he was writing. And so now, the other part about this is, you know, by him agreeing to that, you know, and him some close to the Romans, you know, they're being around. He didn't want to, you know, have them aware of his whereabouts, because don't forget, you know, Jesus was trying to move quietly, you know, and the reason why he didn't have his disciples then is because he was trying to, you know, he would do like simple teaching seminars, and he would say his parables and things like that. So this was his opportunity to go ahead and teach and just move on, you know, real quickly. But, you know, what was happening was these Pharisees, they caught where he was at, and, you know, they conjured up, you know, something, and they created a dilemma for him. And, you know, by creating this dilemma, basically what it did was they were trying to see if they could catch Jesus, you know, in some kind of, a lie or some kind of breaking, you know, the commandments or something, anything. They were just reaching. And by doing this and how how this woman was caught, you know, and their, you know, whatever they were doing or whatever they were plotting, basically she was just a pawn. And how you know she was a pawn? Because they didn't bring a man. When you commit adultery, you know, it's a man and a woman, but they brung her. They didn't care about him because they figured, hey, you know what, we got her. Let's present him to, you know, Jesus and see, you know, if we can catch him with this one. So what happened was automatically, you know, when you are trying to, you know, say, hey, we need to administer, you know, we need justice administered, you know, and this is this woman, she did this, she did that. Or, you know, it's just like somebody said, you know, you catch a bank robber, and or you present somebody with a bank robber, but you don't have a bank that he robbed. So that's what happened with this woman. You know, they presented her as being an adulteress, but they didn't pull or say who she was with or, you know, what she was doing. They just pulled it. And she might not have even been, in fact, committing the act of adultery. They just presented it to him and said, you know, hey, in the land of and the law of Moses says she should be stoned, you know. So, you know, and basically another thing they did was they were trying to not only use that woman as a pawn, they were also trying to use the law as a weapon against him. And how they did that, kind of slick, because they said, you know, when they included the law of Moses, and, you know, and they said, you know, basically, do you condemn this woman? And that's when Jesus, basically, he ignored them at first. When he ignored them at first, he knew where they were going. And, you know, basically, you know, in order to trap somebody, you had to have a plan. So when Jesus finally realized that, you know, these guys got a plan, and they're trying to trap me, so he just wanted to make sure that they were fully committed into trying to trap him. And not only that, they had a rather large gathering because it was just like, you know, somebody wanting to watch a fight. It's like a fight's about to go down. And then, you know, on top of that, you know, some of them picked up stones because they figured, you know what, I think we're going to be stoning this woman today. And, you know, basically, you know, I just want to just, you picture this in your mind. And I'm going to tell you how cool Jesus is, because what he did was he just ultimately just basically said, you know, you're not coming at me correct. And he just said, let me, when he was going, writing on the ground, he basically was just saying to himself, okay, let's see what else they got. They had nothing else. And so when he stood up, he basically threw everything right back at them. He said he, without sin, cast the first stone. And you know what? Nobody could do it. Nobody could do it. And, you know, the one thing that, you know, I find that is incredible about, you know, the whole thing is, you know, when we are, you know, when we are in, you know, in fact, trying to tell somebody, you know, hey, you've broken the law, you've done this, you've done that. And in turn, you know, you don't see what you do. You know, you just are focused so much on what someone else is doing, and you're not focusing on what you're doing. But when you focus on what you're doing, you realize, say, hey, you know what? You know, maybe I should, you know, should you know, just take a step back and just understand and take another look. Because, you know, maybe, you know, whatever happened, you know, to Live and Let Live, you know, we don't have that no more. Because a lot of times, and a lot of times we don't have that filter where we can just, you know, look at someone and just say, hey, you know what? They're just a person just like me. They're living life just like me, or they're trying to get by, or they're trying to do this and try to do that. But, you know, how you doing, Cheryl? I see you. Okay, finally some Facebook friends are checking in. And, well, actually, I just happened to glance over there, and oh, man, Evangelist Trina, thanks so much for the comment. Yes, so, you know, a lot of people focus, you know, it's, you know, they think it's a one-way thing. Just as well as you can accuse someone, or, you know, someone can accuse you, excuse me. And it's, you know, in all fairness and all sincerity, you know, we really do need to, you know, take a step back and take a look at ourselves, because, you know, when we start accusing people, you know, you never know what repercussions are, you know, it's just, you know, and, you know, the beautiful thing that, you know, that life presents itself with when you're in situations and dilemmas is that you have, you know, you have options. One of the options when you're faced with something like this woman was faced with is, you know, if we take a step back for a second, you know, she was expecting, you know, no worse than to get stoned or just offered, you know, or just stoned to death, which is at that time it wasn't unpleasant, because sometimes even a person that, you know, threw a rock or a stone at you, sometimes they will, you know, after they cast the first stone, they'll go cast another stone. And you can understand how, you know, someone could, you know, easily, you know, get a severe blow and then, you know, it could kill them. So we want to get back at, you know, how Jesus dealt with these guys. So, you know, basically, one by one, they left. And it was through their own guilt. Because after accusing someone or, you know, watching someone accuse someone and thinking that, hey, they're going to participate in the stoning, what happened was basically they found themselves reflecting and looking inside, you know, on themselves and say, hey, you know, I sin too, you know. And the next thing they're probably thinking is, you know, hey, someone could easily bring me somewhere and say, hey, I need to be stoned, or I need to be this or that, you know, whatever, you know, executed and things like that, you know. So people, you know, basically here arose their consciousness, where they actually took time out to start thinking about what they're actually doing and, you know, and just reflect and say, hey, you know what? I'm a sinner too, you know. So, you know, and with that, and they all left. So basically it was just Jesus and the woman still there. And the coolest thing was Jesus was still writing. And the woman was there, and I guess she was wondering, you know, what just happened? You know, how am I not dead now? How am I still standing? How am I, you know, after all this and all this commotion and me being dragged out here? And, you know, even if it was she was committing adultery with a man, I know she's probably thinking, like, why wasn't he drug out here too? You know, like I said, when we get caught up in dilemmas and we get caught up in pawns and we're used just to get to somebody's needs of what they have in purpose, you know, in store for them, or they're trying to put in action, you know, a plan, you know, sometimes we could be that woman when we get caught up, or we are, you know, just have, you know, we're caught up in a dilemma where we're just caught in a rock and a hard place where, you know, what we expect to happen and what we expect it, you know, to just going to happen to us, you know, there's no way out but that, you know, the intervention of Jesus, where he can just come in and just change everything. And that's what happens to us. We're that woman, and we're caught up in different dilemmas, where we just need that help from Jesus. And, you know, for some of us, you know, before we realize that fact that, you know, we do need him, and that we need him to help us pull us out of dilemmas and out of problems, you know, one of the things that gets us to not, you know, ask for his help is just that we just think that, you know, hey, after all this time, you know, we're asking for his help. What if he turns me down? The whole problem is you're not asking. You're not, you know, that you're not seeking him out. You're not, you know, and just because, and a lot of things is that just because you're in a big dilemma or something like that, sometimes you may need to be there. Sometimes he may not rescue you, because it may be something that you need to learn, something you may be at the right place. You know, like some people that may, you know, unexpectedly get caught in jail, they may be innocently thrown in jail. You know, and sometimes, you know, being in jail and being away from a certain situation could save your life. You know, and sometimes we do need that time where we have to be isolated because of outside noises and outside interference. It prevents us from doing what we need to do and achieving a lot of our goals, because sometimes, you know, our friends are worse than some of our foes, because our friends hold us back. You know, you don't want to do this or you don't want to do that because you don't want to leave your boy, or you don't want to do this or you want to do that, or I can't snitch on my boy, or I can't do this or I can't do that, you know. But we have to make sure that when we are in these dilemmas, that we seek a way out, you know, by praying. You know, prayer don't cost anything. You know, a prayer is maybe all we need, maybe all the difference is a prayer. And so I'm going to go ahead and continue on. So I'm going to cover over basically the other parts of the scriptures, but I think I left off at verse 8 as describing what was going on. And so when they were leaving, you know, and this is what happens to a lot of people who are proclaimed self-righteous, is that they leave quietly. They leave in the darkness, where as though once, you know, their bark and their bite was heard, you know, they just want to just go ahead and they just want to, you know, sneak away or leave away, you know, in the darkness where, you know, they made all that noise coming in, going out. They're just so quiet where, you know, you didn't even know they left. And that's how these people were, one of the stoners women, you know, and they basically, they just, you know, I guess they couldn't stand themselves when they thought about, you know, if they were without sin, and clearly all of them were with sin, especially the troublemakers that, you know, brought the woman to Jesus in the first place. They were the first ones to sneak off. And, you know, basically, you know, when you're faced with, you know, exoneration or, you know, forgiveness and things like that, you know, it's kind of hard for people to understand the impact that it had because, for one, you know, we still keep ourselves in the woman's shoes. For one, she was basically condemned, you know, to die. And, you know, from there, you know, once you're saved from something, you know, and this point right here was Jesus himself, what do you think is supposed to happen? And, you know, what happens is when Jesus rose, you know, he basically just said, hey, you know, where are they at now? Where's your accusers? You know, where's the guys with the big mouths and the big sticks? You know, and she basically says that, you know, that they're gone. You know, nobody's here. And, you know, and this is the good thing about Jesus. You know, Jesus is all love and you know, he's all forgiving. But, you know, out of all the people that were there that had, you know, without sin was him. And he didn't condemn her, and he didn't pass judgment on her, and he didn't, you know, cast the first stone. And, you know, excuse me. And what he did was, you know, it was what, you know, what you expect for him to do, but it was just the way he did it, you know. And he basically, asked her, after he said, you know, where are your accusers? And she says, you know, no one, Lord. And the thing where, you know, we just hear it and we just don't understand it is, you know, what he said to her. You know, like I said, we're going to be the woman for a second. And it's like, he said to her, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. You know, even though he spoke those words, you know, I do not condemn you. Go and sin no more. You know, sometimes we're just not thinking. We were like, oh, wow, oh, that's all we have to do is go and sin no more. You know, and the problem with that is that, you know, we just we don't believe it was that simple. That he just said, you know, go and sin no more. And you go, wow. You know, clearly, you know, she's not going to go back to what she was doing. And we're not sure what she was doing. We're not sure if she was a prostitute or she was just, a woman that just happened to be committing adultery, or is this some woman that they just pulled off the street, you know, and said, hey, you know, she's committed adultery. Like I said, she was merely a pawn. So we're not sure what her actual role was, you know, as far as, but she's clearly not going to be in that position again. You know, and I'm quite sure, you know, just like Jesus, you know, said to them, you know, he who without sin cast the first stone, and he knew that everybody was a sinner. And just as well, you know, these guys could have said, hey, or it's just a rumor, you know, sinning and as far as a new way or adultery and things like that. So, you know, we can just go with that now. You know, the thing about, you know, picking up the rock and carrying sentence and why no one was able to do that and why Jesus didn't do that. Because once, you know, you allow somebody to go ahead and know that, you know, hey, yeah, you committed a sin, but, you know, I that's not what I want from you. What I want from you is I want you to sin no more. So basically I want you to convert. You know, I want you to convert, you know, from your sinful ways and just sin no more. And that's a big thing to ask from somebody, to sin no more. But if you think about it, if you think about the sin that you're committing or the sin that you're in, and you say, hey, let me just stop this and let me just, you know, not just pick up another sin, but let me just say, hey, the reason how and why I'm committing this sin or committing these sins is because of this. And now once you free yourself and you constantly, you know that you're committing sin and knowing that you convert and you change, you know, now that helps you for when you get temptation, temptate, tempted with the next sin, or when you are about to commit another sin that you're going to think about and you remember how condemned that feeling was, that you were like, it's like before you even had a chance to do anything, judgment was already passed on you by many people, and it almost seemed imminent. And, you know, what we have to do is we have to make sure that, you know, we, you know, protect ourselves, you know, and the best way to do that is to remember our life lessons and the lessons that's been paid. And it's been paid because, you know, she was scared for her life. You know, she was just all about, you know, putting the gallows, and she was, you know, it was almost a done deal. It was almost certain. But, you know, it wasn't. And, you know, Jesus made sure, and he seen it through. And he also, you know, let her know that you can go on about life. It's just that, you know, you're a sinner, and even though you didn't admit it to anything, because there was never really any proof anyway, but he told her to go and sin no more. And, you know, real quickly, I just want to let everybody know that, you know, we're simulcastingly broadcasting. We're broadcasting on blogtalkradio.com, and it's backslash Purpose Kingdom. And we're also on Facebook Live. This is my first time on Facebook Live, and I'm just giving it a go. And, you know, it seems like things are going well. And, you know, next time I'll try to get, you know, dressed up a little bit or something, or do something special, or straighten my room out or something. But, you know, but right now, you know, that's what we're doing. And if you are on Facebook Live and you want to call in, or if you're online and want to call in, you can call in at 319-527-6091. And you can press the number 1 button and you can talk to me. So we're going to get back to our programming. And, you know, we were talking about Jesus and, you know, how they basically condemned the woman, and how he turned everything back. You know, he flipped everything, and, you know, they try to create a dilemma, and they basically was, you know, trying to press him with the law of Moses, and they were trying to use it as a weapon to get him to, you know, okay the stoning of the woman, you know. You know, and Jesus, you know, one of the great things about him is that, you know, he just has a way of just a coolness about how he does things. And, you know, it was amazing how he calmly just let them know, he will sin, cast the first stone. And, you know, it's easy, you know, to read these scriptures, but you have to place yourself, you know, in the scriptures, you know, because the woman is how many of us are. But for some of us, you know, we are the accusers, where we, you know, we accuse someone and we immediately judgment to be passed and executed no matter what it is right then and there. But we don't think about, you know, what we've done, and, you know, and it's until it's presented, until it's thrown back in our face. Until it's said to, you know, until it's presented to us in a way that we understand and say, you know, we're all sinners until, you know, we all fall short of the glory of God, until we all seek him out, until we all, you know, get to where we need to be, you know. And a lot of us realize that, you know, we're a long way off, and some of us think, you know that we're not that far off. And those that, you know, do understand, you know, their place, you know, a lot of us should not be happy. We should always want to move forward and, you know, expand our sphere of influence. And when I say that, I mean the people that we interact with, family, our friends, you know. And, you know, the funny thing about it is, you know, when you go in and you share and you share your understanding, your knowledge, and someone says, oh, he's just a Jesus freak or whatever, what's wrong with being a Jesus freak? You know, but, you know, the whole thing is just, you know, just sharing with your fellow mankind, and just sharing with your friends, your family, and constantly, you know, get them to elevate their thinking, and get them to change, not just change for you, for themselves. You know, giving them an opportunity of just, you know, letting themselves take another look at what's out there as far as, you know, studying the Bible, you know, learning some things. You know, there's nothing wrong with praying. You know, you have to let your friends know, you know, especially when they come to us and they say, hey, man, I'm stuck. I had nothing, you know, I have nowhere to turn. And you can just, that's the perfect opportunity where you can just let them know and say, hey, you can try prayer, you know, or let me pray with you, brother, you know, and say, you know, that a prayer don't hurt anything. Just let them know that, you know. And, you know, one of the things, you know, that I got a chance to interpret through, you know, just, you know, John chapter 1, verses 12, is that, you know, the passing of judgment and, you know, how unfair it was when, you know, Jesus he was basically killed, you know. And, you know, and how, you know, how they dished out justice and how fast, you know, it happened, you know. Basically, you know, he absorbed, you know, our sins, you know. And, you know, and on the cross, you know, he gets accused. And basically, I get acquitted. You know, he gets shamed so I can get accepted. You know, he is killed, you know, in a brutal public execution, and, you know, I walk free. You know, he fell into the hands of the mob so I can fall into his arms. You know, the one without sin did not cast the first stone. Instead, he spoke salvation. And today, he speaks it again. To every guilty sinner who throws their lives on his mercy, he says, today, I do not condemn you. You are free. Go on without sin and sin no more. You know, we have to be very thankful of the message or messages that he sends us. You know, the most resonating thing that I'm hearing is that when he said, you know, go and sin no more. You know, and being that, you know, like I said, in placing myself and being that woman, and when you hear that, you know, that has to be such an amazing feeling that Jesus himself said, you know, go, you know, sin no more. And, you know, and just, you know, with that feeling, if I was that woman, that would carry me out through a lifetime of just hearing him say that. So we're pushing the call of salvation, and I'm going to go ahead and offer the prayer of salvation. And the call of salvation, for those not familiar with it, is basically the opportunity to introduce you to Christ, where you can accept him into your life and, you know, fill that big void that you have, you know, where as though, you're ready to just turn your life over to Christ. And one of the many, many ways you can say it in your own words, or you can just repeat after me. Heavenly Father, I realize that I'm a sinner and have broken your laws. I understand that my sin has separated me from you. I'm sorry, and I ask you for forgiveness. I accept the fact that your son, Jesus Christ, died for me, was resurrected, and is alive today, and hear my prayers. I now open my heart's door to invite Jesus to come into me as my Lord and Savior. I give him control and ask him that he would rule and reign in my heart so that his perfect will would be accomplished, be a major accomplishment in my life. I hope that Jesus protect me and my family members as I embark on this endeavor of turning my life over to Christ and becoming a new creature. And once you say something that like that or something similar to that, you know, you're saved. You know, and the next thing I suggest you do is you find a Bible-believing, teaching sanctuary that alerts you to the word of Christ, where you can grow and become, you know, nurtured in his word. You know, and when I, you know, when I say sanctuary, you know, I know sanctuary, most sanctuaries are closed, but, you know, we do have Zoom, we do have some Facebook sessions and stuff like that. You know, right now is the perfect opportunity where you can just try many different ones and see which one you're comfortable with. And, you know, you should be able to find some comfort, you know, somewhere until you, you know, until you get settled. And, you know, I know this COVID-19 is, you know, it's no joke. And I know, you know, we don't want to risk exposure or exposure to other people. So, you know, one of the, you know, things you want to make sure that, yeah, yes, you know, remain diligent and, you know, get comfortable, you know, find your church home until, you know, the sanctuaries are ready to open up. And that way, you know, you have a perfect opportunity to join a nice sanctuary. And with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and do the announcements. This is probably the Purpose Kingdom Network, and I thank each and every one of you for joining us for tonight's broadcast. Whether you're listening to us online, via phone, or Facebook Live, I thank you for joining us. And also, on behalf of Purpose Kingdom Network, thank you for sharing with your friends and family members and letting them know that we're here broadcasting on Purpose Kingdom Network. We broadcast on each and every night that we're able to broadcast. And we just thank you so much for sharing, listening, and also telling other people about us. We just thank you so much. If you want to contact us via email, you can contact us at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com. We can see your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or send a prayer request. We're gladly honor that. You just let us know that you turned your life over to Christ. And we are just we're thankful for those that have done so. And we would share with the world that you have turned your life over to Christ. We thank you so much. We are also on Instagram and Twitter at purpose_kingdom. We also invite you to like us on Facebook, where you can see our upcoming shows and advertisements. You can see our announcements to some of our events that we're doing. And we just thank you for sharing with your friends and family members. Anytime you want to hear any of our past previous broadcasts, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/purposekingdom. We can simply type in the host name or the show name. You can hear that show in its entirety at your convenience. And we thank you for sharing with your friends and family members. And with God's will and God's blessing, we hope you join us tomorrow evening at the 9 p.m. hour for, I believe it's KN Newsroom. And once again, with God's will and God's blessing, we have PKN Newsroom at the 9 p.m. hour. And, you know, I know that, you know, for some of our listeners, it's a discouragement to call our 319 number, 527-6091 number. And that you get the automatic messages for some of our listeners that you will be charged 1 cent a minute. In fact, I don't think that this is a charge that's going to appear on your phone. But to be safe, you know, we do have options for you calling in. And that option is to download the Talkatone phone app, where you can download that for free. And you can make free phone calls via internet. And, you know, and that way it's a free phone service. And that, you know, you won't be, if you're worried about being charged, you can use that as an option as far as calling into the show. Or, you know, as we start figuring some things out, we may be doing more live, more Facebook live shows. So just be on the lookout for the announcements for that. And like I said, we just thank you and we appreciate your support. And, you know, with that being said, you know, we want to put an end to the announcements. And, well, getting back to our program, you know, as we're, what we're talking about, and we were talking about the woman, and we're also talking about, you know, how, you know, she got, you know, basically condemned, and with that, you know, has been ultimately, you know, turned around, and how she just was, you know, saved through Jesus, you know. And, you know, one more aspect about, you know, taking a look. When we go through, you know, through the scriptures, as we read them, you know, sometimes we read some many times, sometimes we read them once, you know, and things like that. You know, we need to share, you know, what we read. And, you know, because someone may interpret it a different way, and you may show someone a different light of, you know, what they've read. And, you know, it's fun to, you know, share and, you know, just, you know, get someone else's opinion of the version of the Bible verse or chapter, you know, and, you know, this is, you know, one of the best things of fellowshipping. You know, even though we're not fellowshipping in a sanctuary, you know, we're all a phone call away. You know, we can always call somebody, you know. And before I go tonight, I just want to just remind everybody, please vote. And, you know, not to just keep constantly just telling you to vote, 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 but please wear your mask, you know, and maintain that safe contact distance, you know, that social distancing. You know, it's important. The one thing that's troubling right now, we live in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Well, I live in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, not we, I do. But one of the troubling things is that, you know, as things are starting to open up more and more, we got a rise in the COVID-19, you know, and it's a shame that, you know, we're not even close to get a cure, and everybody is, you know, just for having the freedom of not wearing a mask, they're willing to go ahead and catch, you know, this potentially deadly virus that's out there, you know, and we don't have a viable cure, you know, right now, and, you know, as hard as it may seem, you know, we may need to just, you know, maintain this way of life until maybe 2023 or maybe later part of 2022. You know, we just don't know. And, you know, by, you know, not knowing, you know, and being uncomfortable, and we know that this is uncomfortable, but, you know, what I'm asking you to do is be comfortable being uncomfortable, because we got to be in this for the long haul. And, you know, I'm quite sure, you know, over 200,000 people died from this virus, you know, and we don't need any more, because, you know, this thing quickly gets out of control. You know, just watch your gathering, you know, and keep your social distancing. You know, I know you know, everybody, you know, they really, you know, want to, you know, what's, you know, some kind of way have some kind of fun or just go out or just do something. But just make sure you wear your mask, make sure, and I don't care who it is, because this virus just, you know, it strikes anyone, and we don't know how. Well, we have an idea of how, but we don't know exactly how, and we don't have a cure. We need to make sure that, you know, we maintain, you know, this safety that and these precautions that we're using right now, because, you know, I don't know about you, but I can't really afford to, you know, or want to see, you know, another loved one, you know, just, you know, basically die because they didn't protect themselves. So I'm reaching at the end of the broadcast, and I just want to say a couple things before I go. I love broadcasting here at Purpose Kingdom Network, and it's, as always, anytime I broadcast every night, I have a lot of fun. You know, this is a blast. And you know, important, you know, I just want to tell you, you know, take time out to love yourself. If you don't have time to love yourself, you can't possibly love anyone else, you know, and as far as, you know, voting one last time, you know, don't forget, you know, somebody's ancestor died so we can get the right to vote. You know, there was just so many different obstacles in our way before we even had a chance to vote. Even those that were hoping that they can get a chance to vote died, you know. So just keep in mind, you know, this is not just about the presidency. This is about, you know, our way of life. It affects everything we do, especially if we vote the wrong person in. You know, and it started at the top, and now we understand that each and every time that we go out and vote, that we make sure that we get the right person in there. And as far as, well, I mean, the right person, not somebody that has more charisma, somebody that has more money, somebody that has our interests. Basically, that's all. And that's what I have, you know, parting for you. And like I said, you know, everything seemed to go well, you know, with God's will, God's blessing. You know, we'll try this again in another 2 weeks, you know, here at Self-Expression. It seems fun. I kind of like it. I kind of like the concept. Like I said, next time I might get a little dressed up for it or something, or maybe move it to another location. But, you know, for the most part, you know, I like it. It seems fun, and it seems like a new way where I can get a hold of you guys, and I can probably get your attention, especially on a Saturday night. So, you know, with that being said, you know, like I said, it's a blast. I would love to, you know, try this out another 2 weeks or maybe sooner. With that being said, I just want to let you know that I'm out of here. Peace.
Jesus bled. He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose. Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.